Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, February the 20th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do for us day by day. We're grateful for the blessings that you send to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to show us the way as you have done daily. We ask that you would help us to be prepared for the time to come that you have warned about so long ago. And we place ourselves again in your care and keeping today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you from the Herald Mail Media website. That's heraldmailmedia.com website. The article was published on February the 13th, 2020. And it was written by Alice Sue, that's last name S-U. And of course she's from the Los Angeles Times. The title of the article is China Fires Officials as Coronavirus Infections Jump. The title again, China Fires Officials as Coronavirus Infections Jump. Here's the article. Political officials were fired and infection cases skyrocketed in China on Thursday, reminding a nation struck at home and scientists watching worldwide just how little is known about the coronavirus outbreak that has infected at least 60,000 and killed more than 1,300 people. Previous numbers had been reassuring, with daily confirmations of new infections dropping from several thousand to around 1,000. Officials in Beijing, increasingly worried about the economic toll of the outbreak, urged people to go back to work. State media ran editorials about resuming international flights to China. But on Thursday, the case numbers shot up. Chinese health authorities reported 15,152 new cases of the disease. The World Health Organization's new name for the virus is COVID-19. That's COVID-19. Most of the increase came from Hubei province, the epidemic epicenter, where infections jumped by 14,840, more than nine times the 1,638 new cases reported there a day earlier. Then came the purge. Beijing announced that both Wuhan and Hubei provincial Communist Party chiefs were fired and replaced with officials known for stability maintenance and closely allied with party chairman and president Xi Jinping. The sackings followed earlier dismissals, including the Communist Party secretary and the director of Hebei Health Commission. The underreporting of the breadth of the virus, which began at a seafood market in Wuhan, has been blamed on officials who suppressed information on the outbreak to save face among their superiors. Experts say the sudden increase in the number of confirmed infections, although alarming, is a step toward identifying and containing the illness. The new figures don't indicate a rapid overnight spread of the virus in Hubei, but rather a change in the way patients are counted there, which may provide better access to treatment on the front lines. New cases of COVID-19 are being confirmed based on symptoms of a CT scan of the patient's lungs. Previously, confirmations were based on time-consuming lab tests, which created huge backlogs. Many critical sick patients with symptoms but no confirmation of infection have complained of being turned away from hospitals. An unknown number have died without having had a diagnosis confirmed. Nearly 90% of the new cases reported in Hubei on Thursday were clinically diagnosed under the new rules. The change reveals that China has been undercounting its COVID-19 cases. It is also a troubling reminder that there is no clarity yet on the extent or severity of the outbreak. The picture is evolving day by day. It is a constantly moving target, said John Nichols, a pathologist at the University of Hong Kong, who worked on the SARS outbreak in 2003. We really have got no idea about the true number of cases. Let me repeat that sentence for you, my dear friend. We really have got no idea about the true number of cases. Both Chinese and foreign epidemiologists believe that a large number of mild COVID-19 cases have still not been counted. The reasons abound: a shortage of tests, overwhelmed caregivers, and many infected patients whose symptoms aren't severe enough to qualify for tests, which are not always reliable. Wang Chen, dean of the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences, told Chinese media Thursday that the change in reporting requirements was extremely necessary because the laboratory tests to detect a particular sequence of nucleic acids often failed. Many patients who appeared to be infected with the COVID-19 disease based on their epidemiological history, contact history, and clinical symptoms were not able to test positive on the nucleic acid test and were listed as suspected cases. Hubei province's new reporting standards are an improvement, said Benjamin Koling, head of the Division of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at the University of Hong Kong's School of Public Health. It is 10 mild cases for every severe case, he says. It is 100 mild cases for every severe case. That makes a big difference in how we think about controlling infections, Kowling said, adding that he hoped the rest of China would adopt Hubei's reporting standards. Peter Xingyong, an intensive care unit doctor in Wuhan, said in an interview with the Chinese outlet that initial requirements for confirming coronavirus cases, including whether a patient had visited the Wuhan seafood market, were withheld from the public, making it nearly impossible to confirm new infections as cases rose in early January. The diagnostic criteria were too harsh. With that criteria, it would be very difficult to diagnose anyone, Peng said. In this period, our hospital leadership reflected this to the Health Commission many times, and other hospitals were reflecting the same, but nobody seemed to notice. On January the 18th, Peng said he complained to another group of visiting experts from the National Health Commission. This makes it very easy to miss real patients, he'd said. This is an infectious disease. If the diagnostic criteria are too tight, the sick people we let go will be a great risk to society. Only after January the 20th, when prominent SARS scientist Zhong Nongshang announced on state TV that there was human-to-human transmission of the COVID-19 disease, did Chinese authority take serious action to contain the outbreak. The timing of Thursday's political shakeup, coinciding with fresh numbers closer to Hubei's reality, suggested that Beijing wants the newly appointed leaders to be seen as problem solvers dispatched to fix a crisis that local officials had allowed to spin out of control. President Xi's aim is to prevent further public anger and ensure social stability. The goal of scientists is to get accurate data and honest information. The confirmed cases and even the probable cases are only reflecting the tip of the iceberg, Koling said. We don't really have a precise impression of what that iceberg looks like. We just know there is an iceberg. And that's the end of that article. And it was published back on the 13th of February. The title of the article is China Fires Officials as Coronavirus, or the COVID-19, which is the new name, infection jumps. You can see that this is a very serious matter where those officials were trying to hold back some of the information for all kinds of various reasons. There's another article also found in the heraldmailmedia.com website. This one was published on February the 15th, 2020. The writer of that article is Joe McDonald. He is a business writer. And the title of his article is Cost of China's Antivirus Fight Rises with Workers Idle. Let me reread that title for you. Cost of China's Antivirus Fight Rises with Workers Idle. Here's that article. Real estate agent Du Zong Kun's sales usually jump after the Lunar New Year holiday. But this year, Du has been at home for a month with no income after vast swaths of China's economy were shut down in a sweeping effort to contain a virus outbreak. Du, who lives in Jiaozhou, near the central city of Zhenghu, is one of millions of people who are bearing the soaring cost of the most extreme anti-disease measures ever imposed. Some businesses are reopening, but Beijing has told the public to stay home if possible. People will buy food and clothes online, but for sure won't buy an apartment without seeing it. Industries from auto sales to travel to retailing effectively shut down after curbs were imposed starting January the 23rd, with the suspension of most access to Wuhan, an industrial metropolis of 11 million people at the center of the outbreak. Travel restrictions expanded to cities with more than 60 million people, while curbs on business spread nationwide. The Lunar New Year holiday was extended to keep factories and offices closed. Nationwide, thousands of restaurants and cinemas have been shut to prevent crowds from gathering. The rising losses threaten to become a political liability for the ruling Communist Party. Local officials have been ordered to revive business activities, but are moving cautiously. By Sunday, some 1,665 deaths and 68,000 cases had been reported in the 2 months since the first infections in December. Economists warn optimism that the disease might be under control is premature. Even if auto manufacturing and other business resumes as planned, activity won't be back to normal until at least mid-March. Losses are expected to be so large that forecasters have cut estimates for China's economic growth. Forecasters, including Capital Economics, say already at multi-decade lows might fall to 2% in the 3 months ending in March, down from the previous quarter of official figure at 6%. Now, of course, let me just pause to say that they're talking there about the growth, the economic growth, falling from 6% to 2%. Continue. If the economy really gets into a tailspin, the challenge for the party will be substantially increased, said Steve Zhang, director of China's Institute at London School of Oriental and African Studies. Locking down Wuhan might have hurt more than it helped by causing panic and was very damaging to the economy, said Zhang. They will have to rethink the lockdown approach. The ruling party has responded to the mounting economic pressure by promising tax breaks and subsidies to companies hurt by the anti-disease measures. The government needs to maintain stable economic operations and social harmony, President Xi Jinping said Tuesday. On Friday, the Ministry of Finance announced that companies with monthly sales below 100,000 yuan, which is about $14,000, will be exempt from value-added and other taxes. It said companies that cannot repay loans might be allowed to invoke force changes as a last resort legal measure that can waive obligations in disasters. Travel and hospitality were hardest hit after the government canceled group tours and told business people to put off travel. Airlines canceled thousands of flights and hotels closed. The manager of a travel agency in Shenyang, the biggest city in China's northeast, said its monthly revenue, usually 100,000 yuan, which is $14,000, fell to zero. He said the agency still is paying rent and wages up to 20,000 yuan or $2,800 a month. And of course, based on what they're just saying there, that is out of an income of zero. Continuing. We don't expect to see a recovery until May or June, said the manager, who would give only his surname. We do hope the government can give us a tax exemption or reduction, but we still have seen no subsidies. Property sales have fallen to almost zero over the past 3 weeks. The industry employs millions of people and drives demand for appliances, furniture, and other consumer goods. Du, the real estate salesman, said he usually closes 2 sales a month and earns about 7 to 8,000 won, or $1,000, every month. He needs to make a 3,000 won, or $430 monthly loan payment, whether he works or not. I have no base salary and live on commission, says Du, who is 27 years old. Without sales, there will be no income. Chinese leaders already were struggling to shore up economic growth that slowed to 6.1% last year thanks to weak consumer demand and a tariff war with Washington. Some economists, citing industry surveys and other data, say real estate growth was much weaker than that. The anti-disease measure closed factories that supply the world with smartphones, furniture, shoes, toys, and household appliances. That sent shockwaves through other developing countries that supply industrial components and iron ore, copper, and other commodities. South Korea and other economic countries that rely on China as an export market face potential job losses. E-commerce companies are hiring extra workers to cope with a flood of demand as families stay home and buy groceries online. But streets in Beijing and other major cities are still empty and eerily quiet. Auto sales plunged 20.2% in January from a year earlier, deepening to a 2-year-old decline in the industry's biggest global market. Sales fell 9.6% last year to 21.4 million, well below the 2017 peak of 24.7 million. That is squeezing global automakers that look to China to drive revenue as they spend billions of dollars to develop electric vehicles to meet government sale targets. Enterprises are under huge pressure, such as a statement of the industry says. The China Association of Automobile Manufacturers are concerned that all of their enterprises are under extreme pressure. China rebounded relatively quickly from its 2002-2003 outbreak of SARS, or severe acute respiratory syndrome, but economic conditions now are less rosy. SARS struck when China was entering a history-making boom, powered by construction and exports. Growth peaked at a blistering 14.2% in 2007. By contrast, the latest virus hit the midtown of the city, and it hit in the midst of a slowdown. In smartphones, Apple, Huawei, and other brands face a potential hit because China is both their number one market and global production base. Shipments might fall as much as 50% this quarter compared with the final 3 months of 2019, according to research firm Canalys. There's a high risk that component suppliers with factory workers still stranded in their hometowns by travel bans will not be able to ramp up to normal capacity if the outbreak is prolonged. Apple and other global vendors face a serious impact if the virus spreads and those suppliers close. The current situation is likely to lead to some of the worst ever shipment numbers in China's history. Now that is quite a serious article, describing exactly how this entire situation has impacted the economy of China. And when you add that to the tariff war that they have been having with the United States of America, you can see how in just a while, if this continues past the month of March going into May, you will discover that there will have a global impact on China's market and in other nations around the world. This is serious. It is serious on many levels. And it would be interesting to see how China is going to handle this. Are they going to ask for the assistance of the United States and their medical forces to come in and see what they can do to assist them? Or will they feel it necessary to do this on their own? Will they ask someone else to come in and help? We wait to see where this will lead. But it is, beyond doubt, any doubt, a very, very serious situation. Dear Heavenly Father, you have warned us in advance of the diseases and the calamities and the storms that will come upon this earth. You have told us in advance of all that will come to pass. We see this all around us, the flooding in certain parts of the nation and the storms and the volcanoes and the hurricanes and everything that we see. We know that your word is coming to pass. And we know that all of this is a sign of where we stand based upon your word and based upon your soon return. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful to you and prepare for the time to come so that we will be willing to walk in the path that you set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, February the 20th, 2020.